Good morning, church family. I pray this morning that you're staying safe, that you're staying healthy, staying at home, and that you're staying close to Jesus. I hope that you have your Bibles ready with you this morning as we're going to be reading from Psalm 133. Psalm 133. We want to have a look this morning at how we can bring our praise and our worship to the one true God for all his loving care and his provision for us and our protection. How can we as individuals unite with our church to bring our praise to him? Well, let's ask, given why does even the church exist? What's its purpose? Well, there are three main pillars on which the church stands. The church is there to evangelize the lost to the world, to enlighten and educate the believer as to the truths of God's word. And that is done, of course, through the pulpit. We do it through personal Bible study, weekly small groups and devotions like we're doing here this morning together. Also, we are to equip the believers for service through various ministries, local and abroad. So how do we fulfill this function? How can we do it practically? What can we do as we live apart and at a distance until this virus is sorted and a vaccine is developed and distributed worldwide? Well, let's look at Psalm 133 and see what we can find there. Psalm 133. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar out of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Now what we read here is that unity pleases God. And this psalm uses two metaphors that paint a clear picture there for us. First of all, there's oil. Oil is precious. In the Old Testament, it was very precious, it was scarce, and also costly. Used on special occasions, like we have here. That it reminds us, it was used for the anointing of Aaron, when Aaron was made the high priest, when he was set aside for service. And an abundant amount of oil was used. It wasn't used scarcely. It was poured out sufficient that it ran down his head, down his beard, and onto his clothing. Then, of course, there's dew. Dew is also special. There was plants that the dew waters. It makes things grow. And it speaks here about Hermon, the dew of Hermon. Hermon was a mountain. It's a snow-capped mountain in Israel, and there's a constant flow of life-giving water. And that's what unity is. It's a combined activity of service, personal and through our church. It's the bringing and giving of life, even life evermore. Believers are set apart, consecrated for service to bring life, eternal life. And that brings glory and honor to our gracious and our merciful God, our God who sent his son Jesus to redeem us, so that we can be forgiven of our sins and spend eternity in his presence. So we unite with our brothers and our sisters in Christ to please God. We unite with our pastor and church leaders to fulfill the role that God has called us to. Now this morning I just want to briefly share four thoughts on unity with you from the Bible. First of all, we should be united in purpose. Matthew 28 verse 19 and 20, well known I'm sure, it reads, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So we are to go and make disciples, baptize them, teach them what we've been taught, reconciling people to God. That's the nature of it. And so the church evangelizes the lost. We grow the believer, we equip people for service, we identify their gifts, we train them, bringing people into the kingdom of God. That's our purpose. United in action is another one. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 16, we read this. They, it's the believers, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. You see, the world is watching us. Reminds me of the story of the pastor. He preached his first service at his new church on a Sunday morning, and the church was full. And the next morning, on the Monday morning, he climbed on a bus and he needed to go downtown to buy a few supplies. Got on the bus, he paid the conductor, was given his change, and he went and sat down. Upon looking at the change that he was given, he sees that he was given 10 cents too much. And there he sat until the time came for him to get off the bus. And as he exited the bus, he turned around to the conductor and he said, "Yeah, you've given me too much change." "Oh, thank you, Pastor," said the conductor. "Well, how do you know I'm a pastor?" he said. "Well, I was in church yesterday morning and I heard you preach. And I wondered what your personal life is like compared to what you were preaching in the pulpit. So I purposely gave you too much change. And I wanted to see what your reaction would be." "Well, Pastor, I've seen your reaction. I've been watching you. And you know what, Pastor? Next Sunday morning, you'll see me back in church." So the world is watching us. We should be united in action. There are many ministries in our church that you can join. You can even start your own ministry. Be open to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have joint ventures. We've got projects. Look in the church directory. Speak to Paul in the office. We've got soup kitchen, prison ministry, mine ministry, broken wings ministry. We have our shelters, and there are many others. So join a ministry or give financial support or even prayer support. They're all needed. So we need to see Christians of our church, Honey Ridge, in action. The third way in which we could be united is to be united in worship. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7 says, "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care." And so we should be united in worship. We should be worshiping the one true and living God. We are one church. It's the bride of Christ, one Holy Spirit. And so we should focus on what unites us. Worship consists of a number of things. Of course, there's singing, there are the songs of praise, there's prayer when we submit ourselves to his authority and we bring our requests to him. There's a service to others in the various ministries that we have. There's tithes and offerings. And often this is the one area in which we seem to fall down, especially now that we have no church service where we're gathering together to put money into the offering plate. You know, in the Old Testament, there were three taxes, three tithes. There was a tithe to the temple, there was a tithe to the priests, and there was a tithe to the ministries. And things haven't changed. The needs are still there. We need to thank God, those of us who are working for our jobs. And we need to give to the work of the Lord. Give out of love and gratitude. Give faithfully. And so we should be united in action. Fourthly, we should be united in prayer. James chapter 5 verse 16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And so we show our unity in prayer. We pray for each other. We pray for the various issues and challenges that we're all facing. We pray for our pastors who, sometimes I think they're the least prayed for occupation on the planet. Pray for our speakers, our leaders. Pray for the various missionaries and ministries. Pray for our online service and our devotion activities. Pray earnestly for your supported ministries. We pray for items on our church prayer calendar that we get on a monthly basis. If you don't get it, make sure that you do get it. There's a number of items there for prayer. Why don't you consider having a little prayer book? Different items for each day of the week. That'll keep reminding you of what to pray for. And so we're united in these things. But above all, we are united in love and in spirit. See, our God is love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, the fruit of the Spirit is there to guide our lifestyle, and we should be the aroma of Christ, and we should see Christ. Others should see Christ in us. Honey Ridge Baptist Church, we should be the light into our community. The story is told that just after the Second World War, a group of young German students made their way across to England and wanted to go help with the rebuilding of the city of London, which had been badly destroyed during the bombing in the war. And so the The Ministry of Housing at the time sent them out to help assist with the rebuilding of a cathedral that had been badly damaged. And so they worked through the months. There was the restoring of the windows, the pews, fixing of walls and plaster floors that had been damaged in the bombing. And one day, as they were coming to the end of the reconstruction, of the putting together of this old cathedral, they were sitting on the steps having their lunch, and the foreman said, "Well, guys, we're nearly finished. There's just one thing that needs to be repaired. In front of the cathedral, there was a statue of Christ. And I'm sure we know it well. It's a statue of Christ standing with his arms open out wide. And on the plinth at the bottom, it says, 'Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden.'" But as they restored the statue, there were little bits and pieces of it that were broken off. The one thing that was badly damaged were the hands. Both hands were completely blown away. And so they made the decision that day that still stands today. And if ever you go and you see the statue, you'll see that the hands are still missing. But what they've done is they've changed the words on the plinth at the bottom. It says, "Christ has no hands but ours." And so we should be showing our community what it means to be the hands and feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. We should be the body of Christ into our local community. The local church is the hope of the world. And so we should stand united together for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this short but beautiful psalm of unity. It is good and pleasant when brothers live together in unity. And I pray, Father God, that even our church, our New Ridge Baptist Church, that we would stand united together, united in purpose, in action, united in prayer, united in love. And so, Father God, even as we go about our daily tasks, we are separated from each other at this point in time. We cannot get together to worship corporately. But I pray that we would remain united. I pray, Father God, that you'd open up opportunities for us to show our unity in action into our community. So we thank you for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen.